Hello and welcome back to Unusual Sources. This is Peter Leibovich on 93.3 CFMU, and on the line with us we have the Executive Director of the Canadian Air Federation, Mohamed Bouchanan. If you've been following this program, you know we've been talking about the World Conference Against Racism that occurred in Durban in 2002 and the subsequent reaction to that, and the review conference, which is going to happen in 2009, where the Canadian government was the first state player to boycott it. Now, Mohamed has been active in the conference. You were at the Durban. Mohamed, you're there, right?
No, I wasn't, unfortunately, at the first conference in 2001, but I did took part of the following conferences, and recently the one in Geneva.
Right, and the following conferences, and particularly the one in Geneva, it was a preparatory meeting to set up for the review. And technically this is what we're talking about. In 2009 is supposed to be the review of the World Conference Against Racism that was held in Durban.
That's right. Well, as you said, Durban in 2001 was a major initiative from the international community to address the issue of racism, anti-Semitism, xenophobia, and so on and so forth. And the international community decided to reconvene and meet again to review, indeed, progress initiatives and policy taken or initiated by the member state. Now, as you I'm sure debated in your program, there was some controversy about the participation of Israel. And Canada decided to boycott the follow-up conference for different reasons, and mainly because some of the action that happened in Durban were described as anti-Semitic or anti-Zionist, to be more clear. In Geneva, recently, the NGOs and a committee responsible for, as you said, responsible for putting together the document that will guide the next conference that happened in April 2001 in Geneva, was holding work last month. And NGOs from Canada, including the Canadian Arab Federation, the Jewish Concerned Voice, the Canadian African Legal Clinic, groups from the labor movement of Canada weren't there to participate and remind the international committee that in spite the refusal of our government to boycott this conference, that the civil society and the labor movement is still concerned by human rights, racism, and indeed we will be participating in the next conference.
Well, and as NGOs, you went there without the support of your government. Is that the case of any other states or nations in the world?
No, actually, Canada, to quite frankly, is a special case. It's the only country so far with Israel who clearly stated that they would not be part of the next international conference on racism. And Canada indeed refused to help or support Canadian NGOs to go and participate. There were there many NGOs from many countries, including what we call the third world country, South America, Africa, South Asia, and so on and so forth, that participate and get the support from their government. So Canada is the only one taking that position so far.
Now, the National Post, which is a strongly pro-Israeli newspaper, has made it a point that they're not hiding this debate. They keep on talking about it. And in order to justify the Harper government position, they had an article in there saying that the latest meeting in Geneva proved once again that the Durban conference was just an anti-Semitic hate fest. And in fact, it's even going further that they want to justify Islamic Sharia law and Islamic consensus in the world, so that it was not only anti-Semitic, it was also pro-Islamic fundamentalist. Was the argument that this guy was using in the National Post?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's quite interesting because that reporter wasn't even there. That reporter, I'm sure, didn't take the time to read the document that was produced after the preparatory meeting. The document never made any reference to Israel that way. The document actually is really clear. The document do indeed recognize the plight and the injustice faced by the Palestinian people as occupied by Israel. The document indeed talk about a form of discrimination and injustice faced by the Palestinian, but this is a couple of sentences in a huge document. The document also talked about legislation, and especially the war on terror, that created a sentiment of Islamophobia and anti-Arab sentiment. And we all know in Canada, and recently again, the Yakabushi inquiry showed clearly the link between legislation and sometimes the initiatives taken by security officials to target and racial profile Arab and Muslim and even render them to other countries to be tortured. So we know those are facts. So the document in only reference to that said, if you go out there and vilify and demonize a religion and created this backlash against the whole population, you have to rethink those legislation and you have to rethink any sort of political statement or government-driven initiatives that might lead to hate and Islamophobia and anti-Arab sentiment. And I should say, we need to support anything like that that will protect other religion or other groups. I mean, I would hope that the Jewish community will be happy to see that type of language in a document that will also protect the Jewish community, for example, or the Hindu community, or the Christian community, and any other religious or ethnic minority that might be targeted by smear campaign or you know, cliches or prejudice like that.
Yes, that's interesting because, I mean, when you talk about laws that, for example, allow there be to be Guantanamo, laws that allow rendition,
yes,
laws that take away everybody. I mean, there are many liberal and progressive thinkers who have attacked these laws as being extrajudicial and, in fact, a violation of our constitutional rights.
That's right.
Including
exactly.
The Patriot Act.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, trying to create this balance between our civil liberties and the basic fundamental human right and this so-called war on terror. And the document and the language used by the preparatory groups in Geneva only highlight those elements. And there's nothing there saying, oh, well, as soon as you attack or criticize Islam, you will be described as anti-Muslim or whatever. No, that's not what the document said. The document is very specific.
Well, in fact, the document is composed by hundreds of countries around the world.
That's right.
The only people not there to help compose this document is Canada.
Canada and Israel, indeed.
And even the discussion about Palestinians being oppressed, I don't think that anybody argues the point that they're an occupied aside from a handful of crazies. How can anybody say that it's not occupation?
Well, yes, and how can you also deny the international convention and the international law when it came to the protection of people and their occupation? We all know there's a clear article and there's a clear legislation out there, the Geneva Convention is one of them, that the occupier needs to provide a basic fundamental right and support for the people he occupied. And we know sometimes those basic fundamental rights are not there for the Palestinian, especially in areas like in Gaza, where the Israeli government engage in cutting water or electricity or starve people to death. And those, that language used in the Geneva only highlight that reality. And as you said, you have to be crazy to deny that.
Now, the other thing, though, is that, as you said, there was only a couple of lines on that. There was a lot of other issues that are highlighted in that paper, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the document talk about, for the first time in the history of humankind, talk about, you know, the recognition of the slavery as an act of genocidal proportion, as a deliberate also strategy to take people from Africa, African subcontinent, and take them to Europe and so on and so forth. The document also wants to protect minorities in Europe, like the Sindh and the what we call the Gypsies, the Roma. The document talked about minority rights of the Dalit in India, for example. The document talked about protecting.
And when you say the Dalit, just for our listeners, that's what we would refer to as the untouchables, right?
In India, yeah. And the document recognized the right of Christian minority, Jewish, and so on and so forth. And this is a major, as I said, initiative by the international community, finally, to recognize racism and try to combat it in this, you know, sort of international commitment and positioning and so on and so forth. And for Canada to really minimize this exercise and describe it as a hate-faced, it's very, very concerning for a human rights organization like ours and for many NGOs that fight against racism in this country.
Well, you said that, I mean, you were there and representing an NGO and an African Legal Clinic Center representative, Margaret Parsons, right?
That's right, yeah.
And Diana Ralph was there from the Independent Jewish Voices.
That's right.
So, it's not just one issue that's being discussed there. Was there anybody there from the Aboriginal community in Canada?
Not from the Canadian Aboriginal Committee, but there were a First Nation representative from other parts of the planet, and especially people from South America. So First Nation right is a major one, and we all remember Matthew Cancun comments when he was in Durban in 2001, describing the treatment of First Nation in Canada as an apartheid style of treatment. And we have a lot to do for the right and the human right of the Aboriginal people in this country. And for Canada, again, not to be there to try to correct its image and to try to maybe recognize the historical injustice faced by the First Nation, again, it's a major missed opportunity.
So what is there a plan of strategy by the NGOs
Canadian NGOs and the labor movement, because I have to recognize the involvement of the labor movement of Canada and the progressist voice in Canada, are very, very committed to participate in these international initiatives. Canadian NGOs that fight anti-racism will not be deterred by the National Post or other, you know, smear campaign media to go there. We will go there, and we will be there with or without our government, which is sad. It's when the nation state will be sitting at the table, you will have this empty seat marked Canada. And it's so sad for all Canadians, because our government, who's supposed to be a government who is a beacon of human rights and civil liberties and inclusiveness and multiculturalism, is not there. And I think that's a sad story.
Yes. And how are we going to get this issue out? I guess that's another question. I mean, I'll give the National Post this. At least they're talking about the issue. I don't see anybody discussing it in the Star or the... I mean, obviously they're biased and they only got one side on it. But the rest of the national media doesn't even seem to...
Well, the problem with the national media, it's because there's no political champion out there to basically push for this. Unfortunately, in Canada, we have the two main political parties, the governing party, the Tories, who refuse to go there. They are supported by the opposition, the Liberal Party, which is, again, very, very surprising, because they were the government in 2001, and they did participate in Durban, and they never claimed that exercise was a hate-faced. You have the NDP, who's supposed to be the progressist voice, who is a little bit wishy-washy on this case, on this position. And finally, you have the only party in Canada, but it's a regional party, the Bloc Québécois, who is supporting the participation of Canada in Durban. So therefore, you don't have any political voice out there to go and challenge the media and engage the media in this debate. So that's why the only voice you can hear is the pro-Zionist National Post type of right-wing rhetoric.
So what we got to do is put some pressure on these politicians to get their wishy-washy washed out.
We have to. We have to, and the NGOs are organizing a forum in December to rally their communities to talk about this issue, but to rally also Canadian, because Canadian needs to know. There is this international initiatives driven by the international community that will try to address the issue of racism and other intolerance, and our government is not interested to participate.
Yeah, no, that is a shame. That's a cowardly act too.
Absolutely, because people are not informed properly, and they use this cliche of hate fest and anti-Israeli and this and that. But this is just a bogus excuses. I think Canada's real motivation is the following: they're not interested to go there and address the concern of the First Nations. They're not interested to go there and address the disparity and the poverty gap between white Canadian and visible minority Canadian. They're not interested to go there and be described as indeed a country who have a lot of issues to address when it comes to Islamophobia and anti-Arab sentiment. So those are the reasons. So they're hiding behind this so-called anti-Israeli thing to refuse to go and face the music.
Well, listen, Mohammed, we appreciate you taking your time to talk about this situation, and we're going to continue to follow it. I want to just, this is called Unusual Sources. You were in Geneva, you were at the PrEP conference, and there was an article that said that it was an anti-Semitic hate fest. Was there anything that could be seen as anti-Semitic in this conference?
Not at all. Nothing. And it was there all along. I didn't see one pamphlet, one statement, one whatever speech that resembled to anti-Semitism at all.
And for those people that say, defending Palestinian rights is anti-Semitic, I guess then people like Yuri Avneri and many Jewish politicians in Israel who have stood up for Palestinian rights, and many Jewish voices across the world.
That's right, exactly. And Diana Ralph, again, as I said, was there, and I'm not sure if Diana Ralph can be described as anti-Semitic.
Anyways, listen, Mohammed, well, we're going to keep in touch on this issue.
Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. And when you have that public forums or whatever, well, make sure you drop us a line, and we'll make sure people know where it is and
we'll do that
where to
for
go.
Sure.
Okay, take
much.
Care. That was Mohammed Boujanan from Canadian Arab Federation, executive director, and an eyewitness account of what happened in Geneva during the World Conference Against Racism preparatory meeting.